I'm Angela.
And I'm Howard.
And we're your hosts of Real Estate Radio.
We talk about what's new in real estate and answer your questions about buying and selling.
Buying and selling a home is the biggest financial investment you will ever make.
Whether it's your first home or your last, or you're facing foreclosure, Real Estate Radio is the show for you.
Listen for Howard's help.
And Angela's advice.
And hot property picks in Northeast Florida.
Tune in and call in to Real Estate Radio every Saturday at 9 a.m.
WBOB AM 600. The Answer.
FM 100.3 and AM 600 WBOB with our local number 222-8255. Stay connected to WBOB.
This is Michael Savage telling you the way it is and why it is. Weekday afternoons at 3
on WBOB. The Answer.
Ask an attorney about Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Ask Florida law attorney. With attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. You have a legal question, you have problems with a storm, maybe you've got problems with a next-door neighbor with a storm. I know that's going to be a topic today. And if you have a legal question, give us a call, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Law office is open. Your question can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power attorneys, healthcare surrogates, personal injury. Could be about family law. Can be just about any area of law. We're here to help you in any way I can. The Ask an Attorney show is on. It started in 1984, so it's the longest running continual program in Florida, as far as I know. I don't know of any other shows that have been on a continual week every week on multiple stations. Actually, Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. It's a live show. We're also on Facebook Live today. You can go on the Ask an Attorney page or the Law Offices of Joseph Pippin page or my personal page if you're on there. And you can actually watch the radio broadcast being televised on Facebook Live. If you have a legal question, again, I'm here to help you. I've answered questions since 1984 weekly, many of them almost in every area of law you can think about, plus just people that have personal problems or needs. And I'm more than glad to be here today to try to help you in any way I can. Again, the number is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. See, we have a couple of calls here. So anxious to get the program rolling with your questions. So suppose you have a next-door neighbor, and suppose they have a huge, they have a... I'll come back to that in a minute. Let's go to Christine in Sarasota. Hey, Christine.
Hello.
How are you?
Yes, I'm fine. I just wanted to ask if I'm liable for my husband's debt on the credit cards, if it was in his name.
Okay, so your name was not on there?
I was a credit card holder. He gave me a credit card hold, and but my name was not on the credit card bills.
Christine, you're not obligated to your husband's credit card bills unless you are contractually on the contract for the credit card.
Okay.
So if you had your own credit card where you could make charges, or if you both could make charges on that card, most likely you're obligated, even though they're your husband's liabilities. But if he just had his own card, you never contractually obligated yourself on that card. Your name wasn't on it. You didn't use it to make charges.
I have my own card.
Well, if you're not on his card,
But my name was not on the bills or anything like that. He just gave me a card to use. And it was in from his business.
Well, here's the way you're going to find out. Send the bill back. Husband deceased. No probate estate. No assets, just in his name to pay bills.
Okay.
And see what happens.
Oh, all right. So there's no law saying that, anything like that. So
no, you're not okay. Obligated for his debts if you didn't contractually obligate yourself.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right,
Christine.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Answered my question.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, phone lines are open. You have a toll-free number you can call the show, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Let's go to Kenneth in Jacksonville. Hey, Kenneth.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, I had a tree that fell from my property to a neighbor's property and did minor damage to their fence. Am I responsible for any damage to their fence and removing the tree that's on their property?
Actually, I believe I wanted to talk about fallen trees and neighbors today. And actually, because it was an act of nature, the storm that caused the problem, I don't believe. Now, being a good neighbor, I'll give you an example. I had a tall pine tree on my property that fell over into my neighbor's tree. It was right on our property line, but the pine tree was mine, on my line. It fell into his tree. It never crashed to the ground. It never caused any damage. It caused a little damage to his tree, but that was about it. I called my tree guy, and I told him to remove the tree. I'm going to pay for it. Now, I think I could have gone over to my neighbor's house and said, look, you know, hey, that tree's on your property. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. But that tree's on your property, and I think the law is that, you know, you have to take care of that. That would be a horrible neighbor, in my opinion. You know, it's my tree, fell on his property. I'm the one that should, I'm the one that should pay for it. I should have it removed.
Correct.
Now, so it was your tree that did the damage to his fence?
Yes, it was a tall pine tree that fell across into his property, which did minor damage. I mean, just a couple slides.
Well, here's what I think. I think legally you don't have to pay for it. I think being a good neighbor would be the right thing to do for you to pay for it.
Okay, that's what I needed to know.
Now, sometimes I might answer that question, well, just let him make a claim on his insurance company.
Right.
But the problem with this is that it would be under his deductible. And so he can make a claim, not get any money, and still have his rates go up, possibly, just the way some of these insurance companies are.
Okay.
You could go say, look, you know, see how he would receive for you offering to pay half of it.
Right.
I mean, if he thinks that's a great deal and is happy with that, and then if you can see that you're never going to have a relationship with this guy because it was your tree that did his fence and he shouldn't have to pay half of it, then I would be a good neighbor and pay for all of it. I mean, at this point, it's just a minor thing.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Hey.
All right. That pretty much that question. I was going to talk about fallen trees and neighbors, and that question really allowed me to give an answer that was going to touch all the points that I wanted to touch on: next door neighbors and fallen trees. So unless you have a question about that, I'm sure this is going to be an issue today with many, many people, or right after the storm. I don't know if many, many people will call the show about this, but falling trees and overhanging tree limbs and all those things usually get questions after a hurricane or a strong wind. Let's go to Dee in Riverview.
Good morning.
Hey, Dee.
I have a question. Is it better to have a family trust or a AB trust?
All right, well,
what's the difference?
Well, there are a couple of factors to consider. One is this the first marriage? You know, I don't really, if you don't want to answer personal questions, you can just make up the answers.
Oh, no, it's first marriage.
Okay, first marriage. Is the estate under $5.5 million?
Yes.
And do you own most everything jointly now?
Yes.
Well, the old AB trusts were used on second marriages or when you had a taxable estate to divide the estate into two parts to get two tax exemptions. So, generally speaking, under your circumstances, when I ask those questions when you're in my office and those are the answers, generally the person does a joint, you can call it a joint family trust, a joint living trust. It all means the same thing pretty much.
Oh, okay. And you can still, I want to fix it so that my children don't get it all at one time.
Yes, there can be what I call stretch provisions inside the trust.
Right.
And the stretch provisions would allow you to dribble the money out, let's say, over a period of 5, 10 years, however many years you want.
Yeah, okay. And then what is left, can they turn it over to the grandchildren?
Yes, it could be what they use is the words issue per stirpes, which means down the bloodline.
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
So one of your three children dies, then the money can be left to his or her children, and that can be dribbled out or given outright. It's just however you want to do it. All you have to do is have the right language in the trust to accomplish that.
Yeah, okay. That sounds good. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you for calling.
Bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Invite you to call. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. I'm certainly here and glad to be here and glad to be of whatever service that I can. Let's go to Jay in Florida.
Yes, I got a quick question for you.
Hey, what part of Florida, what part of Florida are you in?
Clearwater.
Clearwater, okay.
Yeah, my wife worked for this company for 10 years and she got laid off and she claimed for unemployment. And it gives you like maybe $2,000 for a few months, and it cut it off and then tells you that the amount they have to get for a year or something like that, and they never send back. Is that the way it works?
Well, did your wife have an employment contract?
I don't know, you know.
Let's say she did not, because, you know, most people don't, actually. All right, so if she did not have a contract, she could be laid off. She could be terminated. She doesn't really have any rights to keep a job. And then whatever the company policy is, as long as they're treating her like everyone else, that would be what should be done.
Okay, because I don't know how the thing works. I know people get unemployment for like 2 years or something like that, but she gets it for like a few months and that's it.
Well, no, a few months from the company? You have to apply for unemployment through the state.
Yes, we did that, and she received it for like four months, and they cut it out.
Well, you have her call the state, and you'll eventually get to talk to someone that can explain it to you.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
All right,
let's give out the number. You have a toll-free number to call the show, 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Lee in Tampa. Hey, Lee.
Good morning.
Good morning, Lee.
Thanks for taking a call.
Well, I'm glad to do so. What can I do for you?
We have neighbors. We do great with these neighbors. They're great friends. But the question comes up about a tree that's on their property, totally on their property, about 2 or 3 feet over from ours. And it's grown quite a lot since we've been here. And the branches were starting to come over on the top of our lanai.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to have it trimmed right before that storm so that...
Yeah, you have a right to do that. So.
Okay, but now what's... Do we trim it? Do they trim it? It's all of it theirs, but the branches
well, I think
way
you
on
can,
our side, too.
You can ask them to trim the trees, but they don't have any liability to trim them. So you have the right to trim up your property line, you know, up in the air in your property line. You have...
Okay.
So you could do it.
That's good. All right.
What I would do, though, this is what I would do. I would say, look, this is a problem. Can you have that trimmed?
Right.
They say no.
Right.
Then you have the right to do it.
Okay. Good enough.
It's, you know, it's really, people should manage their trees. You know, people should manage their property.
Mm-hmm.
People shouldn't allow their next door neighbor to be flooded because of something they do. But you know, you have to nicely ask the neighbor, look, this your tree, you know, is not being managed very well.
Mm-hmm.
You're not pruning it, you're not trimming it, you're not keeping it nice looking, and it's overhanging on my property. Could you please do something about this? Because, you know, I don't want it overhanging my property.
Okay.
And you know I have the right to do it myself, but hey, it's your tree, neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're good friends, have a good relationship, but this is causing me a little discomfort here, and I think really, you know, you can say, well, no, it's your problem and I'll go trim it, but you know,
mm-hmm.
Can you do it?
Right.
They say no. You say, "Well, can you pay for half of it?"
Mm-hmm.
And they say no, then you can just go do it. And I don't know what that does to the relationship.
What's a reasonable cost? It's a mature oak, and to take off maybe about half of it.
I would just get three quotes.
Uh-huh.
Because I tell you, right now is not the time to do it.
Right.
These tree guys and lawn repair people, whatever you want to call their job, they are in much demand and overworked and have work coming out of their ears, and you know they're going to get the best price they can.
Right. Okay.
So you might want to wait a month before,
okay.
If you
good
can.
Enough.
All right. Thanks. I had a client that basically had a tree did damage to their property, and they had these huge ficus trees that the person allowed to grow up to 50 feet tall. So you had these huge, lightweight trees. Well, you know, some of those snapped off during the storm and went into various neighbors' property. And they still have some that didn't snap, which really are a danger to the property of neighbors. Property and lives are at risk because of the way these trees have grown, really. So my suggestion to this client was have me write a letter that says basically this: I'm putting you on notice. Your trees could cause, your trees, as evidenced by the past history and what could possibly happen to the trees you have now, I'm putting you on notice that they could cause great danger to property, your neighbor's property, or life even. I'm putting you on notice. Beware. Govern yourself accordingly. These trees should be removed. And I'm not sure. I mean, I would think one of these days when you put somebody on notice of a potential danger of property damage or fence or house or roof or a building, and you put them on notice and they fail to take any action, I think, you know, I know what the law is right now, and it's kind of iffy whether you would be successful in that, but I think that that's the most you can do, is put them on notice. Tell them you understand. You're allowing this to be a danger to lives and property of your neighbors. Do something about it, neighbor. And give them a written notice. And then if it happens, which it, you know, might be a few years from now, whatever, but it would happen. And you could give them continual notice. You can get an arborist to come give you a written evaluation. These trees are of great danger. Give them a copy to the letter. I'm putting you on notice. This is a great danger. You need to do something about this. Trees on your property. It's not even overhanging on my property, but it's a danger to my property. Do something. Just don't let them get away with it. All right. Well, let's go to Anthony.
Hello.
Hey, Anthony.
I'll try to make this quick. City of Wauchula. The power company, they have their own power company, City of Wauchula. They electrocuted three of my cows after they were warned two times not to turn the power on. They still turned the power on. I called them once through their answering service and told them not to. I called them again when their office was open. Anyway, so they have, the pole was on the ground. They had nowhere else to move the cows. The fences were destroyed by a tornado and flooding in the other pasture.
No, I'm so sorry. So your question is, do you have a cause of action against the power company for
tornado? Do I have a cause of action for the grief?
Well,
their insurance company will pay for cows, but you will not believe the negligence and the unbelievable running of this place with no answering to nobody. They're going to electrocute a kid next. And when I try to talk to them in the office, they more or less told me to shut up. I couldn't get nothing out of them about protocol of how things were supposed to be done or anything. They're not under MSHA. They're not under OSHA.
Do you know how many people were serviced by this power line?
The Wauchula City Airport is serviced by it. Some pump houses were serviced by it, and I am serviced by it.
So I'm just trying to think of what their argument would be.
They have no argument.
Well, everybody has an argument. whether it's valid or not is another question. I'm just thinking this is a very complex question for a two-minute, radio show answer. But so you're going to need to sit down with an attorney, first of all, to get an attorney to take a case like that, and to assess the probability of success. I'm thinking their argument is going to be that was a power line that served many people, including an airport, and we're very sorry for the loss of your cows, but the overriding community. The better action for the community would be to keep the power on to help all the other people that are in that grid, that power grid.
But they didn't follow protocol. Any power company will tell you protocol is inspect the whole line out before you put the power on.
Okay. Well, that's your argument. And your argument would be they didn't follow protocol and it caused you some damages and you want to be, you want to have that recovered. And plus you want to take a corrective action so it won't happen to you or other people in the community again.
When I asked them about corrective action, you know what they told me? We're not changing protocol for one person.
Yeah. All right. So your biggest challenge would be to find an attorney to take a case like that. Because they're going to do a little research on case law, and they're going to have to weigh whether or not that they could be successful in a case like that. Because, attorneys aren't going to take you. You probably would want to just pay a contingent fee yourself. So that means they're only going to accept a case if they have a high degree of probability of winning the case.
Yeah, that's true.
And so your biggest challenge would be finding an attorney that's willing to tackle that case.
And if it helps any, on the 911 call that went on for 45 minutes, they argued with a 911 dispatcher when I was telling her that it was City of Wauchula power line. That's who I've had for 30 years there. They argued it wasn't their line. They had City of Wauchula on the line. They had Preco on the line. Preco said, it's not our line.
Yeah.
And Wauchula, I finally end up having it, after getting off the 911, have somebody I knew call City of Wauchula and demand that they come out there. The power was still on, and four cows were still all excited, running all over the place with this thing energized and flames shooting up in the air, looked like a missile going off.
What's the cost of four cows?
It's going to be over $2,000. It'll be between $2,000 and $3,000 somewhere. I'm not sure yet. One was a bull, one was a mama, and one was a nursing baby.
See, if the insurance company thought that the city was responsible, they could file an action against the company.
There's no doubt. The insurance company done contacted me. They're going to pay for the cows. But
yeah, they're going to pay for the cows, but are they going to try to get their money that they pay you back from the power company?
I don't know.
See, if they think you have a good case, they have the right to do that.
Oh. I'll talk with them more Monday.
I don't know. Yeah, the attorney fees would be more than $2,000 probably to try, though.
Right.
All right, Auntie, I wish you well.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Let's go to Tammy in Spring Hill.
Good morning.
Hey, Tammy.
My question is, I live in a snowbird community of a lot of snowbirds. Each year, I tell my neighbor before she leaves to put her things away, and the clubhouse does as well. Now, she doesn't. And
what kind of things are her things?
Oh, she's got junk. I mean, there's a ladder, but I mean, there's lawn chair frames, projectiles of all kinds and all different weights. I mean, there's flower pots, there's what else you got over there? Old cushions of it. I mean, the damaging ones would be just junk. You know, some of it you can't even recognize.
Well, hey, okay, I think this goes back to my previous question.
Yeah.
Comment. Send her, send her a letter.
I thought that would answer the question. Now, I told her verbally, and I take pictures of what she, you know, what she leaves. Now, I write her a letter, and then would it have to come from an attorney?
I'm putting, well, it doesn't have to, but, you know, if you want to pay for a letter from an attorney, it would maybe have a little more impact. But the letter should say, I'm putting you on notice that your actions of leaving these items in your yard could cause great danger to your fellow neighbors.
Okay.
Including a loss of property or damaging property and possibly even loss of lives.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you get two or three neighbors to sign that.
Oh, that won't be a problem, yeah.
Yeah, that, you know, the neighborhood is concerned about your negligence in leaving these type of items in hurricane season loose on your yard, not to mention they don't look so nice.
That's correct, yeah.
And we're putting you on notice that we're holding you responsible personally because you are now being aware of it by this letter that you're on notice that we're holding you responsible for any damage or loss of lives or property that would cause.
Okay, and then if something did, hopefully it never does, but if something did, she is liable, correct?
Not necessarily. But the most you can do is write the letter at this point.
Yeah, okay. Great, thank you.
All right, thanks. All right, so let's go to Lee in Tampa.
Great, thanks.
All right, thanks. Hey, Lee.
All right, so let's go to...
Lee, I can't hear you. I think you're talking to someone else. Let's put Lee on hold and go to Kay.
Hi, how you doing?
Lee, are you there?
Yes.
All right, you're on. What can we do for you?
I recently lost my insurance because of accidents, and the insurance company dropped me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I try to go get some more, it's really, really expensive. So I don't have the money. They want $2,000 for, they want $600-some down. They want $400-some a month, $2,000 just for 6 months.
And you've gone to several companies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and people like the general and these ones that talk about on television all the time,
mm-hmm.
They won't even talk to you.
Okay.
They kick you out of the computer. Well, so I don't have any choice but to drive. I want to know how much trouble I can get into.
Well, you could be arrested. You could lose your car.
Yeah.
And you could be fined. I don't know the dollar amounts.
Is it a felony?
You know, I don't know if it was a misdemeanor or a felony. I don't know. I'd have to look up the answer to that. But I know you could lose your car. You could lose your license. How long have you lost your license? You got your license back, just no insurance?
I've never had a suspension on license or anything.
All right. Well, if you do that, you're going to lose your license could be up to a year. I don't know the timelines on that. But you're going to lose your car, too. They'll put your car in a compound, and, you know, it's just not worth the risk.
Well, I don't know what else to do. I got to work.
Take Uber. You'd be surprised how reasonable Uber is. Take Uber until you can figure out a way to get your enough money for your insurance.
Say again?
Take Uber or some Lyft or whatever the other services are. Make it known at your place of work that you need transportation. Maybe somebody lives fairly close to you that can take you to and from work until you get to figure out how you get the money to pay for your car insurance.
Yeah, there's nobody.
Well, think positive. There's always some way and somebody that is going to help you with this.
I'm always helping other people. When I need it, I never get it. How it works.
I don't need to know the name of your company, but what size company is it? How many employees?
Uh, Well, they don't all work in the same place. It's about, probably about 150.
Ask Human Resources if you can put a sign up somewhere. Need ride. Willing to share cost. Live in such and such area.
Yeah.
How far do you live from work? How many miles?
Probably 25.
Okay. Do you rent or own a home?
Uber costs a lot of money there, right?
Well, yeah, probably so. I mean, I forget what their rates are, but once you get to know a driver, you might be able to work out a deal with them because you would be a steady customer.
Right.
They could maybe go off the clock, so to speak.
No insurance company that you know of that deals with this kind of stuff?
No, how many have you tried? Have you tried Geico, for example?
Yeah, they don't. No, I didn't try them. I had Progressive.
Progressive?
I had Progressive. They dropped me. And they took. I sent them $304, and they took that for a month.
Yeah.
Hey, I can't afford that kind of, you know. All because
what's the policy where they advertise? They structure the policy just for your. That there's a lot of advertising on television. I forget the name of it right now.
Yeah.
The General. But anyway, all you can do is to keep trying with contacting people at work and getting quotes from insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
Lee, I'm sorry I can't help you any more further than that right now.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
You have a great day.
You too. Phone lines are open. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. If you have a legal question of any type, I'll be glad to try to help you. Can't always help everyone, but, you know, I can try to put you in the right direction and give you some information that might be helpful for you to think about. 877-943-9673. Let's go to Kay in Tarpon Springs.
Hi there.
Hey, Kay.
Seems like today's the day of the tree talk, right?
I knew it would be.
Yes. We had just several branches trimmed from our tree last Saturday because mm-hmm. we thought they were going to hit the lanai.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the guy gouged us to the max. Anyway, he said $600 if we paid cash. And then he said, okay, $500. And so then no receipt or anything, but... it looks pretty bad. It did not. Our tree did not hit the lanai, so we're thankful for that. And anyway, just wanted to ask your opinion.
Well, you know why most people ask for cash? Is this guy licensed?
I have no idea. Probably yes.
Well, what's your? So he did it. He botched the job.
Well, no, he did it. And I know he had more to do, you know, at the last minute last Saturday. But, you know, he just did a couple, and it doesn't look real cool. But anyway, at least it didn't hit our lanai. But we just wondered, we thought a lot of money, but we thought, we don't want our lanai to go down, you know. And then he did gouge the screen with one limb, which he didn't mention that we saw later. So... our new screen.
Well, you don't have a contract. You don't have a receipt. I guess you could complain to the Chamber of Commerce, tell the state attorney there's price gouging, or just write that off as another chapter in your life of a lesson learned, perhaps, and move on.
Yes. Okay. Appreciate it.
I think I would move on would be what I would do if I was in that position.
Okay. Very excellent.
But,
well, appreciate you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to, let's give out the numbers, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Michael calling from Sarasota.
Joe.
Hey, Michael.
Joe, I have a question regarding, I don't have a carry permit, and I have a
concealed weapon permit?
I do not have one.
Okay.
And I want to know what the rules are of carrying it in the car legally. It's in a snap holster, and somebody told me, I get different answers, I can keep it in the glove compartment.
Yeah, you can.
Okay. And if I'm stopped, I of course, I'd tell the officer I do have a weapon in the car. But that is true. It's in a snap holster. I can keep it in the glove box. But that, not on the seat or in the console, in the glove box.
So in a holster in your glove box, you'd be fine.
Okay, great. I really appreciate that. The other thing, Joe, I want to say is, you could check into this, but if Uber is not on the clock, okay, and they have an accident, their personal insurance will not pay the claim, okay? Because Uber has Uber kicks in if they're on the clock. Now, Uber will pay the claim if you're on the app. If you're off app, you're on your personal insurance, they will not pay the claim because personal insurance does not pay commercial vehicle claims. So just thought I'd let you know that.
Okay.
I'm in the business, so you know. All right. Thanks.
All right. Bye. All right. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's go to Antonio in Bradenton.
How are you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I got a solution for that gentleman with the insurance. Might be a solution for the guy.
All right. Let's hear
it. I heard that if you can go, you got to go to Tallahassee, though, and make like a $50,000 bond, maybe $50,000 bond and plus. And mm-hmm. I believe anybody can do this. You just got to have the assets. You get a $50,000 bond and up, and you can pretty much bond your own, like your own driving per se, and you never have to pay for insurance ever again. I just, you know, if anything damages happens, you'd be, you know, to be charged off the bond. Just want to make sure you can pay for it.
What does a $50,000 bond like that cost?
Oh, I'm not sure. I mean, I was talking to an older gentleman about it. He had the assets. He went to Tallahassee. He pulled it off. He hasn't paid insurance in 5 years.
Okay.
You got to go to Tallahassee.
Yeah, I haven't really heard of that before, but, you know,
and,
so.
And then you come back to whatever county you're in, and you go to the DMV in the county, and most likely you have to walk them through it, but it could be done legally. Anybody can do it if you have the assets.
All right. Well, thanks for the suggestion, though. That's news to me, but thank you for calling.
No problem.
Let's go to Barbara in St. Petersburg.
Hello.
Hey, Barbara.
Hi. I have a tree question for you. I don't have the tree. I'm sorry. It's grown into my yard a little bit. It's maybe a little less than a third on my side of the tree or on my property line. I always keep my side trimmed. My neighbor who planted the tree, well, I'm sorry, her grandparents planted the tree, she trims her side. The last two tree people we've had out have told us that our K is on its last leg, it's decayed. I guess it has a cavity or something like that. And, you know, it's a potential problem. And we kind of ignored it. But after this last storm, it scared me a little bit. Had a lot of branches down. No damage to my home. But me and another neighbor have tried to approach this neighbor in a positive way to let them know the hazards of this tree if another storm were to come through. It, you know, would become missiles through the air. And, you know, they said they can't afford to take it down, kind of implied that I helped them pay for it, which I'm not going to do. I've done my side of trimming that I know I have to do, but I'm not paying that. It's a mm-hmm. very large tree. It will probably cost over $3,000.
And right.
It's not my tree. I didn't plant it. They planted it too close to their property line. And, yes, of course, the root system has moved and the tree trunk has moved and grown into partial of my yard. So I don't know how to approach them in a nicer way. I didn't know if there's a financial, and maybe if they got jobs that would help, but I don't know if there's financial assistance for them, or I don't know. And I don't want to pay for it. I don't.
Yeah, well, I understand. I understand.
And I'm not the only neighbor worried. I have another, the neighbors on the other side. They're like, if a branch goes, if, you know, if this wind can pick up a car and move it, it's going to take one of those large branches and put it over on my roof. And I said, I understand. I'm worried too, but I can't make them pay for it.
Yeah, all you can do is do what I said earlier. Give them a letter putting them on notice that this is a great danger to the community, homes in the community. And the tree could cause substantial damage. And as you have a report from a tree person, you know that the tree has decay, and you're putting them on notice the tree needs to be removed, and they would be held responsible for damage or loss of lives. Now, you do that, but whether or not that would be effective at the time of the of when the tree falls is another matter.
Right.
All you can do is to get your neighbors all together and put them on notice that they're all concerned and they need to do something about it.
Okay.
And their failure to do something about it, you're putting them on notice that you're holding them responsible or going to certainly try to put them hold them responsible.
Okay. They're very aware. A lot of neighbors have told them.
Yeah, putting it in writing is a little bit different, though, than just verbalizing it all the time.
Okay. And then after they tell us they still can't afford it, is there another step we could do? And they've also had a tree person tell them that that tree is dying, and it's on its last legs. So I don't know why they don't care about their own property. Maybe they don't have homeowner's insurance. I don't know. But they don't really care. They've told us we don't care. We don't have the money. Oh, my God. I don't know how to make them do it, though.
I don't think you can make them do it. And it might be even if you could sue them, which you might.
No, I don't want to do that. I mean, that's
well, even if you could, they might not have money to pay the judgment. So
exactly.
You know, it's not a good circumstance.
Exactly. No, you don't want to do that. That's not a road I want to go down. I'm trying to do this as trying to research financial assistance for them. I mean, I don't know why I have to do all their work for them, but I don't know. I just wish they would. I do know they have money. They have they house like students from other countries or something. But they do have money. I mean, I'm sure they haven't spent it all.
Yeah.
I think they just want me to pay for it. I've paid for all the fencing, so they figure, oh, she'll probably pay for the tree, too.
Yep. That's
I
probably what they're
thinking.
They're going to wait you out. all right, Barbara. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, let's go to Conrad in Tampa.
Good morning.
Morning.
My daughter, she's 29, Hillary, last week got raped, and she told me Thursday. I called the rape crisis place, but I didn't hear back from them. But I'm the father, and she's doing well. I mean, she's fine, you know, mentally at this point.
Did she rape by someone she knew or someone?
Yeah. Somebody who had employed her for helping her at trade shows and such. He either got his own little company. I didn't get his name or anything, or he's a political action group. But that happened out in West Palm Beach, and she lives here in Tampa. I was wondering, as a dad, and I heard that the rape kits in Florida aren't being processed because it costs so much and they got so many. Is that still true?
No, I think Pam Bondi took some action to get those processed. I don't know.
You know, I didn't hear anything after that because it was a lot. There must have been, I want to say, 10,000.
Yeah, why don't you just Google Pam Bondi and rape kits status or something and see if you can Google and get the update on that.
Do you think I should get a...
Was the guy reported?
No, but she said she went to, you know, she met a detective. I saw his card. I don't remember his name. And she said, well, they had me call him a few times, but I guess he's a predator, and he's done this before. So he told her he said all the right words, the detective said. So he was a sociopath. I mean, that's where I'm at. And I think as a dad or, you know, any citizen should be able to pursue a case and find out what the detective's doing or do I need a lawyer? Is there a group you think, women's right group?
Well, listen, I have a criminal attorney that used to be a state attorney, actually. If you want to contact me, I'd be glad to give you his information.
Okay, and how should I?
Send me an email at Joe, Joe, at attypip.com.
PIP.com. Okay. All right. But, no, he's a professional, you know, a professional businessman.
Yeah.
So he...
Well, hey, unless you pursue it, he's just going to do it to someone else.
Yeah, well, that's my concern. My daughter's strong.
and she seems to be dealing with it. It's just he just was real slick on the phone. He couldn't, she couldn't catch him saying anything. It was I had the same problem with my nephew. I let him move into the house. He established residency. Then he wouldn't move out after he beat me up.
Yeah.
So then the police said, well, next time he beat you up, I says, I'm in a goddamn wheelchair. In the middle of the night, he comes in my room. I was scared. I was scared.
Yeah.
I couldn't call you at that time. I didn't even know where my glasses were. It smashed everything in my room. It's just, I don't know. But he's out of my life now, officially.
I would just be a squeaky wheel with the detective in the state attorney's office to pursue it.
Yeah, because my daughter literally is a not a spitting image of Pam, but is a tall, blonde, good-looking woman at 29, just like Pam was. I'm not saying she's aging well, but it's just a situation where to think they didn't do those kits and to think they didn't make it known that they did it. I mean, the politicians, you think they would brag about accomplishments. But
yeah, why don't you contact me and I'll give you that attorney's name.
Okay, all right. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. We have 5 minutes left on the show, and if you have a question, we have time for at least one more question. Phone lines are open right now at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Anything I can do for you, please give us a call. The poster sheet we offer every week is available. It's a large poster sheet that has information about estate planning. If you're interested in having your estate plan reviewed or thinking about creating a new estate plan or making changes to the existing one, this sheet would be very helpful to you, I believe. I would be glad to mail it to you. There's three ways you can get it. You can call our toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529. Go to extension 200. That's 1-800-226-3529. Extension 200. You can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Or you can text for it at 727-667-3967. The seminars this coming week or next week, I should say, in Jacksonville have been rescheduled. We're doing some seminars at the St. Johnstown Center this coming Thursday and Saturday. We moved that to October, 10th, whatever that Thursday night is, and 12th, the Saturday morning. So we'll, if you want to go to a seminar in Jacksonville, they have those upcoming. Have an upcoming seminar in Tampa this week, actually, on Tuesday and Wednesday night. And if you want more information about that, we'd like to attend. Just call our office, 1-800-226-3529. Let's go to one more caller, who is Juan, calling from somewhere in Florida here. Hey, Juan.
Hello. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I was in shock because I wasn't hearing no feedback, you know. I live in the part of Florida where Duke Energy is responsible for the electricity.
Hey, what part of Florida do you live in?
I'm in Gulfport, right across the street from St. Petersburg.
Yes, sir. Okay, we have about a minute, so you're going to have to make this quick.
I just wondering, why they didn't turn on the electricity? They claim it's going to be on at midnight.
Yeah, they've promised them. Everybody should have their power by midnight tonight.
Tonight?
Saturday night is what I understand.
Yeah, but today is Saturday. It's almost 9 o'clock in the morning. I still don't got power.
Well, you got 13 more hours. And they've been promising that everybody will have power. So we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Hey, Juan, thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. We're here every week and have been so every week on multiple stations since 1984, hosting Ask an Attorney all about Florida law. And I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad I can help people, and that's the whole purpose of the show, is to allow people to call in with their question. Your question actually helps a lot of other people that are in the same circumstances as you are. might be a slight version or a slight twist of facts, but, you know, pretty much it's good information for people to learn more about the law and their rights and legal rights. And I'm also always glad to do that. If you'd like to visit our website, we have a 100-page website. It's www.atty.com.